John F. Kennedy Library President's Office Files. Presidential Recordings Collection. Tape number 85, Reel 2. 4 minutes, 7 seconds of this tape have been excised for reasons of national security. The 5 excisions have been indicated. For additional information, please see recording log number 85.
Back, go in August,
you mean?
August,
no, in off of the Russians early July, or
end of January or July. Then if they come back and say, oh, it's okay, because from the point of view of handling our affairs in the Soviet Union, with a trip like this in prospect, they're not likely to blow, so likely to blow a gasket on Berlin or Cuba and some of these things. So if we get a little more time on this, the better.
Okay.
Meanwhile, we present a little Hertz about nuclear testing to you and the Prime Minister. If they do say, all right, come ahead with your high-level representative, I could go and make some nuclear testing, and I could have these talks with the Soviets in connection with the same trip, and it'd be much less problem with our allies. But I'll make a recommendation.
You're the sweetheart of the Kremlin, it seems to me, lately, aren't you?
I don't know why. I don't know why.
I notice he said...
I think Alpha 66 helps you some.
Excision 1. 41 seconds excised.
What is the hours narrow?
Narrow was much more lighter than I expected to find it. Ken and I agreed that we start off fairly gently on such things as his troops in the Congo and things like that. And that almost put him to sleep. But as soon as we got onto Pakistan and Kashmir and so forth, then he came alive and was very, very active and alert. Times almost bitter. I'd never seen that real bitter before. But when he started talking about Pakistan effort to blackmail India on Kashmir at a time when India was being attacked from the north, he was very sharp, very sharp. And
what is he mad at Cam?
No, not really.
That seemed to be.
Didn't seem to be that. I think that was something of a passing phase. The
he mad at us?
The elements paper. No.
Is he self-conscious all about the fact that we're his letter to us was rather unpleasant or not?
He didn't expect that, and I got none of that impression from the other officials who were, in fact, assignment.
What's your judgment? That just is not going to go, is it?
I don't think as long as Nehru was there, there's going to be a Kashmir settlement.
So where does that leave us? Listening to these Pakistanis, you realize, boy, what a real straddling this is about. It's a real straddle, isn't it?
I have some suggestions here about how we can make strengthen India militarily without claiming that Pakistan is too much. A lot of things that India needs, other than sophisticated modern weapons.
Excision 2. 50 seconds excised.
The Indians have no line of communication, they have no logistic support organization. I make the point in here that the leaders of the Indian Armed Forces now have never had any experience beyond the brigade level. They just don't know how to run a war, they don't know how to manage troops, they've never had any real experience there. The Goan episode was just a parade. They needed so much help, short of the inflammatory kind of equipment that would make an enormous difference to help for their railways leading to Assam, help on bridging, help on communications, radar, things of that sort. Spare parts from the British for their aircraft. There's a lot that can be done that won't blow the Pakistanis out of the water.
They push very hard for the military assistance when you're out there?
No, they were very sensitive on the question as to whether there was any connection between military assistance and Kashmir. I said, we weren't making a connection with the Chinese had.
Most interesting thing that Secretary Sainz puts in this memo is that the air defense thing is something the PACs prefer.
PACs want that. For two reasons. One is it would prevent the fill-up of the Indian Air Force to that extent. And secondly, how you says, if you fellows are in there, you make the Indians behave. So he's all for that. He bought that.
What are the Indians? What's our step? Where are we in that one?
Well, the package is being put together. And
we have to get the British to agree to this, because the British thus far are not.
Did Duncan Sands go back with anything to show for his trip?
Well, he's he may pause long enough to get some hope from IU that he'll buy, in which case he'll go back and probably find a way to let it be known that he brought it about.
Are they awaiting Chester with bated breath out there?
In general?
substance that we're going to need to prepare for on the Radhakrishnan visit?
Well, Radhakrishnan was a little naughty. He tried to trap me into making some anti-Nehru statements. So he invited me to tell him about my impressions with my talk with the prince.
Is that a rivalry?
It is, yes. And but Radhakrishnan himself wouldn't say anything against Nehru. So I wasn't going to be drawn into that one. But he'll probably be wanting to talk about Nehru a bit with you. Privately when he's here. He was very, very good for him and very friendly.
What is it we have to decide on as far as this Kashmir and the military assistance to India? What is ours?
Well, I think the principal thing is to get a mediator at work. Both sides are talking about Funker for that. For about those kind of two good stories behind him. I think he would do a good job of making a better partner.
He sure as hell isn't going to fatten his batting average.
I
think everybody.
I think
that.
The principal encouragement, Mr. President, would be that if Bunker or someone like that can get down and talk about 15 different questions between India and Pakistan, you got a whole bundle laid on, that then it might be possible for a Kashmir settlement to be caught up in the whole bundle of relationships. Which could lead to reconciliation along the lines of the Franco-German reconciliation. Something big enough so that everybody gets something out of it. And then can balance that off against the pain.
There's no guarantees that we ought to be thinking about, but further guarantees that we ought to give Pakistan to cover for our assistance to India.
I'd be very careful about that because I got into that a little bit with IU, but IU is too smart for that. He knows we're a heck of a long way from home. As far as he's concerned, he said that the defense of Pakistan is something that the Pakistanis know they have to do for themselves. That we can't, if we're going to be attacked, we can't take time to be sure that we persuaded our friends abroad, the governments, and the Congress, and the peoples, and everything else, that we've got to be in a position to defend ourselves. And he was so right on it, impressive.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there's much in further guarantees. We can trade on with Pakistan. Thanks to the situation.
They're awfully unpleasant, aren't they? The press?
The press was pretty wild. But
the government people, the foreign minister?
And the foreign minister was very, very good man and very friendly. IU couldn't have been more relaxed and friendly in his whole discussion. He didn't use any strong language or express any resentments or anything of that sort. I think he would like to be a close friend of ours, but he doesn't quite see how he can do it. India.
Excision 3. 22 seconds excised.
Vicetto, that give you?
There's no problem. Vicetto is fairly relaxed. Vicetto military representative had charged us with total indifference on the military command to Pakistan. Business in flight of about $3.3 billion a day, and I thought we didn't have to take that. So I told the foreign minister that the Centro meeting I would take an exception to the statement. I hope he wouldn't go away mad. So I made a little speech, and that was the end of that. And then the chief of staff of the Pakistan Armed Forces came to me and said, please take General Mutto's words seriously. We didn't intend any offense on that, and so forth and so on.
I saw it in the paper, that was good. It came out very well.
Well, they were riding it too high. And, Elokin came right in and backed me up on it.
Yeah.
Said, look, you're talking about what this means to you. We've all staked our lives on your safety here. We've committed ourselves to defend you if you're attacked. They said, that's all we've got to offer is staking our lives. That's as much as any nation can offer. And this kind of talk has just got to stop. And those are exact words that you used. It was jarred them a bit, and I think everybody came out of the feeling that it's just as well if the cows grow horns and do a little poking back at times. We cleared the air a bit.
What about what about Haiti? What's your feeling about Haiti?
Today we thought that we ought to tell Bosch not to attack. He's not going to attack anyway.
we ought to, if he isn't, he's not going to, why do we want to look like we've...
Well, it's just, there is an outside chance that he might.
Oh, it'd be effective.
It seems to me that, well, he'd get in real trouble if we have to bail him out without OAS action, sympathy, or support. I feel, Mr. President, that we'll get our dependents out. They're a hostage here in this situation. And we can't use dependents as a pawn on the chessboard. We'll get these, particularly the private dependents out, the commercial people. It's not moving out of it. This puts pressure on the body and makes it much easier for us to take the steps we have to take. There are about 1,000 of them scattered around in different places, unprotected. There's nothing the Marines offshore or even in the port can do.
What are we going to do about getting the dependents out?
They're checking with Thurston now to see what he would recommend as to how we handle it. But if we suddenly landed Marines, then 300 or 400 American civilians were killed through this gangsters wandering around. I think the American people want to know why we have not done something about it.
So what we ought to do is give a warning?
To give a warning, get them out of there, maybe over the period of the next 10 days, 2 weeks, that kind of thing. You know, make it a mass military evacuation. All the circumstances are present there, which would make it an entirely normal thing for us to say that the situation is so explosive that we think it's...
Excision 4. 24 seconds excised.
I noticed that it seemed to be coming apart, the Dantis' economic plan down there in Latin America. I think we ought to just check and see what else is going to affect the monetary fund in Western Europe.
Vice President, Fred Dillon and I and some others are running up to Henry Luce's dinner tonight.
They get an article in the Bay of Pigs in this. They devote their whole issue pretty nearly to the stories from the...
This week?
Yeah.
A lot of more time.
They got a lot of interviews of fellas on the beach and what happened. We got out of pretty good net memorandums in there about from Hawkins. You know what, this is just between us, but Bobby's very close to the leaders of the brigade, Arabo and Rebellion San Juan. He said that Hawkins told them that there was a chance that it would be called off in Washington. If it was, he would give them the signal that they should arrest the American officers and then go ahead with the invasion.
It was Hawkins.
Well, the fellow was called Frank.
I'm not actually
sure about
Frank.
That's
Hawkins.
You know, I wish I really knew what our fellow said to the brigade about all these questions.
Well, this is why we discussed with the brigade.